As we gather in our homes this morning to worship the Lord privately, we can give the Lord many thanks that it appears that this is the final Sunday we cannot meet together, and that we will be back to the normal corporate worship next Sunday. And yet, as we remain in our homes, separated from one another, unable to meet as the gathered congregation of the Lord Jesus, we should nevertheless sanctify the Sabbath day, remembering it to keep it holy, especially by giving our attention to God's word and responding to it. So let's open this morning with the scriptures from Psalm 85. Verses 4 through 9. Restore us again, O God of our salvation, and put away your indignation toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints. But let them not turn back to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Let us pray. O Lord, we long to gather together in your presence again, to be renewed by your Spirit and to worship with your people. We thank you that nevertheless you are with us now, and that you are pleased to accept us through the atoning blood of Jesus shed for us. We praise you for your faithfulness to us, which never changes, and for the hope you give to us in Christ. Refresh us by your word and spirit this morning, and help us to grow in our faith and love to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's consider God's word and hear it from the New Testament. This morning, looking at 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1 and reading through the end of the chapter. The Word of God, give your attention to it. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect exiles of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and for sprinkling with his blood, may grace and peace be multiplied to you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves but you in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Christ Jesus. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." And if you call on him as Father, who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Let us go to the Lord now in prayer. O Lord, we thank you for our great Savior Jesus, who rose from the dead for our salvation and ever lives to intercede for us. Thank you for the promise of your word, that because Jesus lives, we also have been born again to a living hope according to your great mercy. Thank you for the inheritance that you have set before us in glory, which is imperishable and unfading, guarded by your mighty power. Thank you that in Christ you have given to us a bright and beautiful future, free of all suffering and evil, and that you have given all of this to us of your free grace. We do praise you for your grace and mercy to sinners, for we remember and confess that we are sinners who have fallen far short of your glory. We have not been sober-minded in our thoughts and actions. We have been conformed to the passions of our sinful desires, and we have not sought after holiness. We forget the great price of our salvation, the blood of the Son of God. And so we consider our sins lightly and fail to repent. Have mercy on us, Lord. Look upon the blood of Christ shed for us, and so forgive us these and all our sins. By your Spirit, work in us increasing repentance and faith, that we may increasingly live in accord with your word and your righteous and perfect will. We thank you for the good news that we will be able to meet again for worship corporately next week, and we ask that you would prepare our hearts and minds for this occasion. Grow us in our love and zeal for you as we consider the privilege it is to gather as the sons and daughters of God, to sing your praises, and have fellowship with one another as the good news of Jesus is proclaimed. We ask that you would bless our mission work at Covenant and add to our number those who are being saved. We ask that you would continue to provide relief and protection to all who need it as a result of this coronavirus outbreak, and that you would give wisdom to our local, state, and federal government officials so that they would make good decisions for the benefit of their citizens. Be with all those men and women known to us who serve in law enforcement and the military to protect them from harm. Comfort those who are suffering, ill, or grieving in various ways. Bless all our students in their final weeks of the school year as they complete their work and prepare for the summer. In all things, cause us to trust you and your great faithfulness to us in your Son, Jesus. We remember also the prayer which our Savior taught to his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You can take a moment now to pause the recording. I encourage you to take a moment to respond to God's word by singing his praises. You can use the hymns provided, or otherwise sing to the Lord. Having sung to the Lord, let us turn our attention to our psalm and sermon text for this morning, looking at Psalm 42 to conclude our family worship look at some of the psalms this morning. Psalm 42, beginning at verse 1, reading through the end of the psalm, again the inspired and the inerrant word of God, do give your ear to it. To the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God. For I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Have you found yourself downcast in your soul during these past few months? It has been in many different ways for each of our lives, but it has been a universally difficult and trying couple of months. Some of us perhaps have experienced this to a greater degree than others. Each of us has experienced this in a unique way to others. But I suspect that many of you can resonate with the psalmist here, who describes himself as having a soul that is downcast. As you work through disruptions, frustrations, anxieties, worries, upheavals in normal life, do you long for God? Do you long for intimate, peaceful, time with the God who loves you, the God who saves you, the God who made you, and the God who says that he is your life. This psalm is a model of longing for God in the midst of the desert, as it were, in the midst of exile. A psalm that calls us to long for God, seeking him in faith and knowing, trusting that as we seek him, God will fulfill that desire. God will draw you into his presence. God will draw you to himself, and God will free you from all of those things that are a part of fallen life, which press against us: sin, persecution, suffering, the desire to be relieved of these things, the desire to be relieved from sin, to no longer suffer, to no longer be isolated, to no longer be mocked or oppressed or persecuted or made fun of. All of these desires find their fulfillment in the desire to be with God, to be in his presence. For in God's presence there is no sin, there is no death, there is no evil thing. God is the source of all life and blessedness and goodness and beauty. And as our catechism rightly says, it is man's chief end, our main purpose, not only in this life, but to all eternity to come, is to glorify and to enjoy God forever. This psalm is an expression of that desire to enjoy God, recognizing that in God is the solution to everything which oppresses and discourages us here in this life. And so I ask you, brothers and sisters, do you long for the Lord? Do you long for him? Do you recognize that as you suffer and long for release from that suffering, as you have unfulfilled desires, insofar as those desires are good, the ultimate fulfillment of all of these things is found only in God himself. And this psalm is a call for us in the midst of even our darker days and weeks and months to seek God in faith, knowing that as we see Jesus risen from the dead, God will fulfill his promises to you. And though your soul may be downcast now, you will again praise the Lord in glory and in this life as well. I want us to unpack this in a little more detail. First, remember God in the dark paths of life. Right? Take the act of simply remembering God when you find yourself in those dark corners of life where we are discouraged, frustrated, burdened beyond our strength. Remember God. And second, as you remember God, seek his blessing through faith. So remember God, even in those dark moments of life. And second, seek God's blessing by faith. Roughly speaking, we're going to consider this from verses 1 to 7 first, and then verse 8 through 11. Look at all of the descriptors that the psalmist makes here of his situation. He asserts his longing for God. He's thirsty after the Lord in verse 1 and 2. From this we know that he perceives that he has been far off from God. He misses intimate fellowship with the Lord. He has been going through a time of grief over this as well, perhaps other things in life. We see several times that he has been mocked. He's either been mocked directly for his faith, verse 3, where is your God? Again, verse 10, he has adversaries who say, where is your God? It's possible that this is simply other peoples making fun of his religion. It's also possible that he has been suffering and God has not delivered him yet out of this suffering. And so those around him are mocking him. Where is your God now as he suffers? And so he has been in a state of grief. His tears day and night have been his food, he says. He is cast down, verse 5. Verse 5 again, he is cast down. He views his situation as if God's judgments have totally swept over him, that he is under an overwhelming judgment of the Lord. Verse 7, deep calls to deep. At the roar of your waterfalls, all your breakers and your waves have gone over me. He views himself as being swallowed up in the tumultuous and powerful sea of the judgments of God. He's in a dark place, a place of isolation, a place of separation. Separation from friends, separation from his God, a place where he is grieving and sorrowful, and a place where the people around him are mocking him, persecuting him. What are some of the darker places in your life that you have been? It looks different for each of us. But we all go through these dark valleys where the light seems to grow very dim. Maybe you find yourself in one of those now. Certainly many people are, as a result of all of the disruption in life. This is not an uncommon experience. Even for the Christian, even for the faithful Christian. And it's an experience that you would do well to note from Scripture how we are to respond. And what we see here in the psalm is that in the midst of this dark place, from this distant place of isolation, perhaps out in the wilderness land, these places mentioned in verse 6, the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. From this dark place, the psalmist remembers God. You see this mentioned emphatically a couple of times there in the text. The end of verse 3 and opening of verse 4, he says, these things I remember. And then in verse 6, therefore I remember you. What is it that the psalmist remembers? What is it that you are to remember in those dark places of life where all seems to be grievous evil? Well, the psalmist remembers the work of God and his enjoyment in God from the past. He remembers who God is. He remembers that God is his salvation, verse 5. He remembers how there were brighter days in the past of worship of God. Most likely he's remembering how he would worship God in Jerusalem, the place from which he is far away at the moment. He remembers, verse 4, how he would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. He remembers this time of joy where all of God's people were gathered together at the place of worship, which in the Old Testament was the temple there in Jerusalem, and they gathered together. Perhaps he's remembering one of the many feasts that the nation of Israel was to keep, to remember and to commemorate all of the saving acts and mighty power of God to them as their God. He remembers the good times, and specifically the good times where he was able to engage with the Lord along with the fellowship of the believers around him. He remembers also that God's acts in the past always carry the promise of further deliverance in the future. This is what enables him to conclude in verse 5 that though in the present moment his soul is cast down and in turmoil, he can conclude, nevertheless, hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. In that statement, we see the psalmist remembering that as he remembers God's actions in the past, that carries with it always a promise of further deliverance in the future. And he remembers that even though in the present moment God has not acted yet to deliver him from his circumstances, in the present moment, it does not appear that the Lord remembers him. Verse 9, he believes that God has forgotten him. Nevertheless, he still calls God my salvation and my God. He remembers God's faithfulness, even though he is not experiencing something that he recognizes as God's faithfulness. And brothers and sisters, how often do we completely get this wrong? Do you find that in those dark times you find yourself doubting God's faithfulness? That you doubt his purposes to you? That you doubt perhaps even whether he will save you at all? In either a temporal sense of delivering you out of whatever it is that is distressing you, or in an ultimate sense of giving to you that resurrection life and glory that he promises you in his son Jesus. Do you doubt these things? They're easy to doubt, and it's why the scriptures call us to remember. In those dark times, if you are there now, if you are in a dark place now where your soul is cast down and in turmoil, that dark night of the soul, then from the scriptures you are to remember the Lord, to remember Christ Jesus, that he was crucified for you, bearing your sins, and that he rose from the dead on the third day, and that that action, his resurrection from the dead, it carries with it the very powerful promise of God that you also, like him, will be delivered out of this present fallen age into the resurrection forever, to enjoy that imperishable, undefiled, and unfading inheritance spoken of in 1 Peter, which we read earlier, that is kept in heaven for you by the power of God. If you are not now in a dark place, you would do well to do the work of remembering these things, knowing that Most likely, at some point in your future, you're going to go through some dark places. Even if you haven't yet, particularly if some of you younger folks have never been through a time of extreme difficulty, you will. The Lord tests his people, and the Lord refines us in the refiner's fire, and it is often unbearably painful and burdensome. And you see this here in the psalm, as the psalmist himself is cast down, believing that God has forgotten him, given him over to the oppression of the enemy. You see this all over in the life of God's people recorded through Scripture. Don't be surprised when it happens to you. And so be prepared in your own Christian walk and thinking that you would not be surprised when it happens that you are wondering where God is or what he's doing and if he's left you in the wilderness to die. Rather than being surprised by those times, be prepared for them. Be prepared to go through this process of working to remember, working to instruct your own mind and heart to remember God's saving actions, God's faithful promises, most of all, the salvation that you see God has given you in the death and the resurrection of his Son, Jesus, crucified for you. Remember God and his salvation in those dark days of this present evil age. The resurrection of Christ is not a distant historical fact that has no relevance to what you are going through. The resurrection of Christ brings with it the promise of God that as you believe upon him, that past resurrection of Christ is a guarantee of your union with Christ through faith and your future resurrection. And as you remember these things, you are to seek God's blessing through faith. The psalmist remembers God. He takes the conscious act of remembering, and from that conscious act of remembering, he then seeks and pleads with God in faith. He remembers God's character, and he remembers God's relationship to him, which is the same relationship of God to every Christian, to every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 8, he remembers, by day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock. You see the relationship that the psalmist is remembering here. He's remembering who God is. God is a God of steadfast love. He is a God who is with you. He is the God of your life, and he is your rock. Those are truths that never change for the Christian. They don't change on the most joyful day of your life, and they don't change on the darkest day of your life. The Lord does not change. His faithfulness is the same. His salvation remains the same. And as we remember these things, we are then to act, to speak to God, to pray to him, to express the longings of our heart, not in a defiant or a sinful way which would seek to accuse God of evil, but in that honest way of the psalm here and elsewhere in Scripture. Lord, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go on mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? You see what's being said here. Lord, why do you continue to let me go through this? Why do you continue to bring me through times of suffering, times of oppression? in the imagery of verse 10, as if we walk around with a deadly wound in our bones. The adversary in the original writing here is specifically these adversaries in verse 10 who are taunting him, saying, "Where is your God?" But the oppression of the enemy here in verse 9 certainly would apply to all those other enemies of God's people. Not only human adversaries to the cause of Christ, but the devil himself and even death, spoken of as the last enemy to be defeated. How long do we go around sick and oppressed and suffering and remaining sinful? Lord, why have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten me? Sometimes seeking God means prayerfully working through those questions in your heart and doing it with faith. This is not a psalm which encourages faithlessness or a psalm which encourages you to turn away from God. That's what these adversaries are doing. The adversaries, the plan of the enemy is always to get you to ask the question, where is God? And to conclude, God is nowhere. He either doesn't exist or he certainly doesn't care about me for whatever reason. And this is a lie. And the response of the psalm and the response of the Christian, your response, is never to believe the lie, never to fully give into it that God has left you, that God has forgotten you, because that is not true. And that is why the psalm ends on this note of hope, this refrain again repeated in verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I will again praise him, my salvation and my God. He recognizes, even though his faith perhaps is small, even though his faith is perhaps struggling to connect the dots from what he knows of God to his present suffering and distress, he knows nevertheless that what God says is true. He knows that a right examination of the facts would lead to the conclusion that he should not be cast down. For, as he said in verse 8, the Lord commands his steadfast love. And at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. If any of us were able to zoom out to the bird's eye view of eternity looking back, we would be able to see the good purposes that God was working out at every chapter of our lives, even those that were the darkest and the most difficult and the most filled with tears and suffering. But we don't have that perspective. That perspective is known only to God. And so in the midst of that, we are to remember God and to seek him with faith, remembering that God's word is true, concluding that it is true, concluding that the Lord Jesus, risen from the dead, really is our salvation, really is our hope. It really secures our hope. Do you believe that the future is bright for you? Do you believe that things will get better, that you will be able to enjoy God free from suffering and evil and oppression, persecution? Do you believe that you will be able to enjoy God living life to the fullest, free of all those things? That's what the resurrection of Christ has secured for you The resurrection of Christ has secured for you. It has guaranteed it. No matter what comes in this life, no matter if the next chapter in this life is joyful or sorrowful, all of the chapters of our life are leading to a state of joy and celebration and fulfillment as we enter into the resurrection with Christ. And this is not something which is only relevant in the future. God tells us that even now our life is hidden with Christ in God. And God is the living God, as is said here in the psalm. God is not an abstract force. He is the living God who loves his people, who loves you. And God will deliver you out of distress. You have every reason to believe that in God's timing and according to God's infinitely wise purposes, God is leading you to better times. If you are in the midst of joyful times now, then you can also have the assurance that the next time suffering and dark days come, well, the Lord will bring you through that as well. You never have to fear that God's promises are somehow null and void because of the circumstances of this present evil age. That's not true. And I encourage you and ask you, brothers and sisters, are you longing for God, remembering him, and seeking him by faith? This is the work of Christian faith in many ways, as we walk with God, taking the day-to-day experience of our life and holding it up against God's word and concluding that God's word is true, and trusting that because we see Jesus, we see that God has fulfilled his word. He sent his son to take my sins, and Jesus died bearing my sins, and he rose from the dead, never to die again, and ascended to heaven for my salvation. And because I see that, I know that God will hear me, God will not leave me, God will deliver me out of my present distress, and ultimately God is leading me to a place where I will fully enjoy him. I will no longer suffer grief or isolation or oppression. I will never suffer these things again, because I will be with God, enjoying him to all eternity because of his saving power given to me in Jesus, his Son. Remember and trust in these precious promises that God has given to you from his word, brothers and sisters. Let us pray. Lord, we long for the day when we may be in your presence, that we may be freed from sin and all the evils which press hard against us. And so we thank you that we see Jesus risen from the tomb. And so we know that as we hope in God, we will again praise you. We thank you that no matter how low our spirits sink in this life, you are the God who will raise us up, even finally to resurrection glory. Strengthen us to believe and rest in these promises as we seek you through your Son, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.